More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, big changes coming. A new study reveals the secret to making change and achieving your goals. We're going to help you get to where you want to go in your life and relationships. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, big changes coming. That's the name of the show. We're bringing big changes to your life and relationships. Is there something that's frustrating you in your life or relationships? Do you need to make a change, but you're not sure how to get started or what the next steps might be? Or for that matter, would you like to help someone you care about make a change? Let us help. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825, and we will help you make those changes that need to be made. What are you looking at?
I'm just thinking of all the moms screaming at their radios right now, going, stop already. Like, this is, tell
really?
Us about this New Year. Oh, yes. Tell us about this New Year's week. I don't have time for changes. I'm trying to get my gift wrapping done. I'm trying to get gifts in the first place. I'm trying to plan the menu for Christmas. I'm trying to get the house ready for guests. Don't talk to me about changes. And I feel ya. Okay, I am with you guys 100% of the way. Except one of the things I've really noticed about the Christmas season, I'll get to the spiritual part in a minute, is that it brings changes with it. It's one of those times of the year where you go, oh, wait a minute, change happened, and I didn't really have a chance to look up and notice. My kids got older. My house needs some fixing up. I'm stuck in the same place I was last year, and other things are changing around me. I don't know how to deal with those new people who were in my life because, you know, my kids are bringing them into my life because, you know, in-laws or new friends or new situations. We often put ourselves in the position of, I'm holding everything up like a traffic cop with my hand up until the first of the year, and then I'll think about changes. They happen to us whether we want to schedule them in or not. And the beautiful thing about this is God's got our back. You know, he's not waiting for some arbitrary calendar date to switch over. With the liturgical seasons, he's constantly saying, it's okay. There are things that change. There are ways you're going to grow. It's a beautiful thing. I'm here for you to help you grow, to help you make changes, to comfort you through any change that happens, and to help you really rejoice in it and experience it. You know, the whole world was kind of shook when the big change of God coming into the world incarnate as a baby happened. He's got this. And it's not just, oh, well, then let's just let God handle it. It's how do we invite him into the situation? How do we deal with the changes that are just thrust upon us? How do we make the changes we really want to make in our lives in a way that's filled with God's grace and allows us to be successful in that? So whether you're getting hit in the face with change or there's some things you want to change, we're here to help you do it with grace today, with confidence today, and even, yeah, with some success. So if you have changes you want to make or changes that are happening in your life and you have no idea what your next steps might be, we're here to help you at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, this is all about really getting unstuck. You know, we often feel stuck in some thing we're going through in our life or relationships. And from the perspective of the theology of the body, you know, we often feel stuck because we can't decide what the right thing to do is in a particular situation. And that's where TOB can be terrifically helpful, because it enables us to have a clear vision of our life's purpose at all times. And that helps us enable the right choices to snap into focus more easily. For example, you know, theology of the body reminds us it's not our job to just set goals that merely enable us to escape the pain or the frustration of the moment, or merely minimize the potential for conflict. Instead, our mission is really to set goals that enable us to work for our ultimate good, to imagine all the things that are possible with God's grace, and to lean into that future, even when our present circumstances don't look so optimistic. You know, our ability to imagine what God can do, the fact that he wants to make us saints, the fact that he wants to build his kingdom and use us to do it, rather than being intimidating, can be inspiring when you allow yourself to imagine what God wants to do in you and with you and through you. The answer to the question, you know, what should I do about this situation where I feel stuck, or this relationship where I feel stuck, becomes a lot clearer when we change the question to, how must I respond to this situation or problem in a way that challenges me and the people around me to become everything God is calling us to be? It's interesting that kind of reflection on how the theology of the body helps us clarify and set better goals touches or dovetails well with the study I wanted to share with you today on the show, where researchers at the University of Limerick, which incidentally their motto is, there once was a college named Limerick. Not a lot of people know that.
Or get what the heck you're talking about, but that's fine.
I think people get it.
I hope so.
I would to think our audience isn't dumb.
No, our audience is hardly dumb,
no. Researchers at the University of Limerick found that the practicing mental imagery enabled golfers to perform better at a putting challenge. So when compared with a control group, expert golfers who watched a video of a professional golfer completing a putting task and then imagining themselves in the position of the professional golfer. So it wasn't just watching the video. It was actually being led through kind of a guided exercise where they imagined themselves standing like the professional golfer stood and feeling what the professional golfer felt and just kind of imagining themselves in that position. Those golfers who did the visualization practice significantly outperformed golfers in the control group. Now, what does it have to do with our thing about making change and setting goals and all that? Essentially this: it's not possible to make a change unless you can imagine that change is possible. And again, reflecting on what the theology of the body reminds us, you know, we have a tendency to just see ourselves as the thing that stares back when we look in the mirror. You know, that broken, metaphorically speaking, that broken, disappointing, frustrating, you know, person that's, you know, right here, right now. We don't allow ourselves to imagine what God wants to do in us and through us and with us. But when we can imagine that possibility, we can set goals that allow us to outperform our human expectations, because we're not just thinking with our human mind. We're allowing grace to enter into the situation, and grace informs our imagination, which allows us to see what God sees, to know that something bigger than what we can conceive of is possible through his grace. As St. Thomas Aquinas reminds us, grace builds on nature. So what are those goals that you want to achieve in your life or relationships? Is there something that's frustrating you in your life or relationships? Are you feeling stuck with a particular person that you keep going around and around with? An argument you keep having over and over again? Something you keep trying to deal with, but you're not making any progress with it? Let's talk about how to make those changes and get started with the next step at 877-573-7825. Or if someone you love needs to make a change and you're not sure how to help them, we want to help you do that too. 877-573-7825. 7825.
And even if you're not thinking about making change yourself yet, maybe inside your own chest you've got that tightness because you want something about this holiday season to change. You don't want to get into that fight with that person again. You don't want that person pushing all your buttons and sort of wrecking your holiday and making you react in ways that you don't want to react. It doesn't really show who your true self is. They just know how to, like, set you off. Maybe there are different things in your life where you're saying something about the next few weeks is just going to aggravate you, and you really don't want this to happen again. And you're saying, not this year. But how not this year? Whether it's about the holidays and those relationships or about anything else in your life, or as Greg said, if there's somebody who's trying to make a change or needs to make a change, and you're part of their group, you need to support them somehow because you're related or you're a friend or you're in prayer group with them, but you don't know how. We're here to help you do it. So give us a call on More to Life today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the life that you've given us and for the fact that you have a plan for each and every one of us, your children. Lord, sometimes, though, we get so caught up in all the stuff that's going on around us, all the busyness that we are consumed with, and all the frustrations that we have to deal with in the day-to-day, that we forget to imagine what is possible through your grace. And so, Lord, we ask you to pour that grace into our hearts and minds so that we can see our lives and relationships through your eyes, and see what's possible when we allow your grace to flow in us. Help us to imagine the changes that you want us to make, and then help us to lean into that vision so that we can build your kingdom in all that we do by first believing that it is possible to make these things happen. And secondly, to make a plan that step by step allows us to draw closer to fulfilling that vision in our lives every day. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, big changes coming as we talk about what it takes to make effective change in your life or relationships. Is something frustrating you in your life or relationships? Are you feeling stuck in some particular area of your life or relationships? Are you having a hard time figuring out where to start making change, or what the next step in making that change is? Or does someone you love need to make a change and you're not sure how to support them? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Stephanie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hey there, Stephanie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thank you. Well, I'm in crossroads of my life right now. I married an Australian 12 years ago, and we moved to Australia. And due to life changes and stuff, we're moving back here. So I'm temporarily living with my mom and my five-year-old who's in kindergarten, while my husband is still abroad, and he'll be here in February with a job transfer.
Okay.
And in the meantime, I left a nice career that I had before I got married, and I didn't have my college degree, and I still don't have my college degree because life just took over. And I'm finding it extremely difficult to find a way to complete that degree, and trying to find a just job that will pay me for the experience that I have. I just feel like it's a catch-22. So I don't know how to unstuck myself other than relying on the Holy Spirit and adoration to guide me.
Well, all right. So I feel like there are two different things going on here. I mean, on the one hand, you're talking about getting a college degree. On the other hand, you're talking about getting a job. And where are you stuck exactly?
Well, like, there's some jobs out there that I can get, but they're not paying as much. And my husband, you know, feels like I should not take a lower paying job. And I feel like, well, if I want to help the family out, I need to do something as a stepping ground. And he says, well, you're worth more than that. You were making more before than what they're offering you. And then going back to school, you know, I'm a lot of credit short of my bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I you know, it's like I can't go to school without funding. And, sure. You know, and so all these ideas are just out there, you know.
And they're just sort of like, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. And it also, you know, you're mentioning here that you feel like a lack of motivation. So where's that coming from?
It's not so much lack of motivation. It's lack of putting me first. Like, I feel like I need to be there for my mother, who's not in the best health. I feel like I need to be there for my daughter. Like, I need to be their first responders, and that's that's where I feel.
And I'm sorry, you said at the beginning, but how old is your daughter?
She's in kindergarten.
Uh-huh.
So she'll be six soon.
So there's a part of you here that's saying, you know, I could do these things. I could go back to work, or I could go to college, but then that would require me to take time away from my mother and from my daughter.
Yes.
All right. So that's not, you know, that's not a lack of motivation. It's really a question of how do you balance it all? How do you do what you need to do?
Because that is a genuine conflict. You have a child who's at a stage where she very, very much needs her mom. You have a mother who needs you. And you've moved back to the States, and that's allowing you to be there for her. And those are very important roles. So very practically speaking, the first thing I'm going to say is, can you guys make it if it's just on your husband's salary? Does this have to be a question in your life?
Well, right now we have a lot of expenses, so we can make it with his salary, but barely, because I'm paying Catholic school fees and all that comes with that.
Yeah. My next question is, are you guys praying about it and how?
I certainly am. and you know, I hope my husband is.
What do you mean you hope? I never understand that. When people say, I hope my husband. Are you not talking about that? Do you not pray together about it? That's what I'm asking.
We're separated by distance right now. He's still in Australia.
Yeah, but there's phones and FaceTime and all kinds of things. I mean, you can talk to each other, hopefully. I'm presuming you're
I mean, I understand he's still in Australia, and that is a heck of a time shift. But if you talk to each other every day, this is something you really want to prioritize as part of that conversation where you're really saying, honey, we have decisions to make. Let's pray about it right now and do it every time you talk to each other. It doesn't have to take forever to do.
Let me talk you through how to do this, okay? Because whenever I bring that up, and, you know, I get the kind of the crickets on the other end of the line or the sort of, forgive me, lame excuses for not doing it, basically means, well, we don't do it, we don't know how.
Exactly, and that's okay.
And that's okay.
Most Catholics have never been taught, but this will really change not only the conversation, but your ability to be able to discern this, because you're really going to be inviting God in together.
And for those of you listeners who are kind of rolling your eyes, I'm not suggesting that praying about this is magic, but let me show you what I mean by praying about it and show you how that's going to facilitate this conversation, okay? So every day, Stephanie, I want you, when you talk to your husband, to say, you know, honey, let's pray about this. And then you say, Lord, I have all these different feelings in my heart. On the one hand, I want to be able to go to work. On the other hand, I want to go to college. On the other hand, I want to be there for my mom and for my daughter. And I don't know how to fit it all together, but I know that you do. And I'm asking you to help us figure this out so that we can make sure that all of our priorities line up and that we're really doing what you want to do and that we would create the life that you want us to have. And you pray that out loud with your husband, and you pray it every day, not just those words, but whatever is on your heart about it today, all right? And you talk about that to God in the presence of your husband, and you invite him to do the same. And the point is, when you're both talking to God about what's on your heart about this situation, it feels a little more safe to have those conversations because you're not talking to each other, you're talking to God, right? I mean, and I realize that's a little bit of a fiction, but you're listening to each other talk to God about it. And that allows you to keep the conversation going in a way that probably wouldn't happen if you guys were just talking about it with each other. Because if you were talking about it with each other, you'd say, well, we just talked about this yesterday. What else is there new? As you talk to God about it in each other's presence, you're listening to each other's hearts. And it's keeping the conversation going in a way that the conversation isn't going right now. And it enables you to use your prayer time as a launching point for deeper discussions about this in lots of different ways that allow you to continue the conversation and deepen the conversation and be thinking about it that allows you, you know, hey, you know what? What about this option? What about this idea? You're enabling yourselves to really think more creatively with God's grace about how to balance your desire for the career, for the degree, and to be present to your mom and your daughter. And it allows you to be more creative and keep that conversation going in ways that it's not right now. And all of that allows you to do what we were talking about at the beginning, begin to imagine possibilities and discuss those possibilities and allow grace to work on those possibilities. And so when you're praying together about this the way that we're suggesting, it moves the conversation forward. I want you to pick up a copy of our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, which talks all about discerning as a couple, which talks about how to not just say words at God individually or as a couple, but actually pray meaningfully in a way that moves conversations forward and allows God to use every part of your marriage to reveal himself to you, to reveal his love to you, to reveal his plan for your life to you in a way that you can't do if you're just praying on your own or just talking about it. I promise you, pick up the book, start walking through the exercises in it. You're going to see how God wants to lead you through this challenge to a deeper relationship with him and each other. Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love is going to be your next step in discerning where God wants to take you with this. Thanks for the call, Stephanie. I think this is really going to change your life. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls about making big changes in your life and relationships. When More to Life continues in just a few minutes.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
With 1 in 9 Americans struggling with hunger, Catholic Charities distributed over 70 million meals across the United States last year, along with life-changing services that empower people to move beyond poverty. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Streamline your charitable giving while supporting the causes you care about. To learn more, go to ccusa.gives. That's ccusa.gives.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 75% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about making big changes on More to Life. Big or small changes, really. 877-573-7825. I want to offer a tip for how you can begin to make those changes. In the first segment, we talked about imagining what is possible. Even if you don't think it's possible, allowing yourself to imagine the possibility makes all the difference. And being Christian, the theology of the body reminds us that what we see when we look in the mirror isn't God's plan for our life. It's just what we are right now. But God has bigger plans for us. He wants us all to be saints, and he wants us to build his kingdom, and he wants us to allow him to work in us and through us and with us to do that. Another tip, though, is mind your steps.
You know, when we feel stuck, it's often because we can't think of that one big thing that we can do to resolve something once and for all, to just get it off our plates. Most complicated problems can't be solved that way. The good news is that we don't have to be able to solve these big problems in one fell swoop as much as we would like to in order to get them resolved. All we have to do is identify the next graceful step that we can take.
You know, you just got to remember that just like Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish, he can multiply our tiniest efforts to create the changes that we're seeking. You know, leave the big picture to God. For now, just ask yourself, what's one small, positive, graceful change I can make with even a tiny part of the problem that's in front of me today? You know, put all your energy into making that change, then the next one, and then the next, and trust that God's going to lead you step by step to the freedom from the challenge that you are seeking. You know, in the last call, we were talking with Stephanie about some big changes that she wanted to make in her life. And the next step was praying about it with her husband, which is something that she hadn't done before, but something that she absolutely could do that would begin to allow her and her husband to talk about it in a new way and identify new steps. That's a small change that anybody can make. What are the small changes you need to make that big change in your life? Let us help you figure it out when More to Life returns after the break. 877-573-7825.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can my whole self to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The idea that the United States of America should now be a nation in high-handed rebellion against God makes me choke. I mean, there are some people who seem to think that the problem in America is simply between conservatives and liberals, between Democrats and Republicans. But these group distinctions are not the most important distinction. The real division is between those who are being drawn to Christ and those who are fleeing him. All humans are created in the image of God, and we are made for a loving relationship with our Creator. Any human being will never find their full fulfillment apart from God. And those of us who are united to Christ by faith and baptism in his mission of redemption owe everyone we meet the love and consideration that helps draw them closer to their eternal lover.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Many people say that after baby comes, marital intimacy is over. But that is absolutely not true. You just need to be creative. Greg and I love going out on dates to parks, performances, and restaurants. So after we had our children, we still went out on dates. But we brought the baby along. We sat by an exit, asked for a to-go box with the meal as soon as it came, and brought quiet activities for the baby. We went to a few favorite places repeatedly. And most of all, we went into the date expecting an adventure. While you may occasionally have to leave a restaurant or an event with a fussy baby, chances are the date will work out just fine, and you can maintain the intimacy with your spouse without sacrificing bonding time with your new baby. Your social life isn't over when a new baby comes. In fact, it's just beginning to get interesting. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today on More to Life, our show is titled Big Changes Coming, as we look at what it takes to make those changes you're looking for in your life or relationships. Are you feeling a little stuck in some part of your life or relationships? Do you tend to have the same arguments over and over again? Have to deal with the same problem over and over again? Are you tired of just having to put up with that, whatever that is? If you're ready to make a change but not sure how to get started or what the next step might be, we want to help you get there. Or, for that matter, if there's somebody in your life who needs to make a change and you're not sure how to support them, we want to help you with that too. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Mary, who's listening in Iowa on Holy Family Radio.
Hi there, Mary. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning and God bless. I'd be so appreciative to have some suggestions about how to support people in need, particularly my beautiful, talented, almost 60-year-old daughter. Has had a long history of, as her brother says, she's, Ma, you know, she's either on her way up or on her way down, but she's very, quite depressed, uncertain, trying to make decisions and then doubting who she is, what she is, how she's doing.
Okay.
And I've fortunately been able to reestablish a relationship with her. And I know there are better ways that I can be, you know, be a better listener. I love your suggestion about imagining what is possible and taking small steps. So with that, I'm taking notes on what you have to suggest.
Oh, Mary, you're such a blessing. And to hear you say that you're fortunate to be able to have reconnected with her and established a bit of a relationship,
yes,
that is an amazing feat for any mom and daughter who have had any estrangement at all. Where is she in her faith life at this point? Does she have any? Does she pray at all? Where's she at?
Well, that's part of it. She has been in a New Age movement for a good part of her life. She was baptized Catholic. And I try to very gently say, honey, you know, there's a saying, God is large and still in charge. And speak in terms that she can understand. She's very defensive. And, Ma, I know that. I know that. Or, Ma, I don't want to hear it. So, you know, I'm trying to be delicate, but yet clear with her. And credit cards are one issue with her now. She's badly in debt and insecure. She's making major life changes from doing some chimney work to being a health counselor. And she's just doubting herself and I would say she's depressed. I think also another thing that I'm checking into that possibly she needs her thyroid levels checked, and I'm making some inquiries about that. I'm in Iowa and she's in Seattle, Washington, so that's one thing on my list to do.
So you also have that distance that you're dealing with. In terms of how much you can physically be present and do, you also have that hurdle. Mary, first of all, let me just give you a big hug. I mean, you are such a witness to the lifelongness of being a mom, and you I think your investment in your daughter, your constant attempt to heal both the relationship and her, is such a blessing and witness to so many of your fellow listeners who are maybe saying, you know what? They're 18. They're out. We're done. You know, or they're 30. Or they're so. Thank you for that witness. I want to make sure I started with that before we said anything else.
So, and a couple of suggestions for the best way to be supportive to her, and this goes for any listener who is dealing with somebody they care about who's struggling with a serious, especially long-term mental health issue. So the couple of things you can do. The first thing, when you're talking with a person, resist the temptation to give advice. Because inevitably they get defensive and they reject it.
And I'm going to throw in here, that's the hardest thing as a mom to do. Because all your life with this person, you've been, you know, saying, well, you know, don't run in front of a car. Don't stick your finger in the socket. Like, it's all been advice. And then suddenly they're adults and you have to pull back from that. And it's very difficult to change that pattern.
You know, the more you attempt to kind of diagnose the problem or give advice for what to do about the problem, the more it accidentally pushes the person away. What you want to do is begin with empathizing. I'm so sorry you're going through that. That must be so difficult for you. And then lead to a possible solution where you say, so what do you think you'd like to do about that? Right? I mean, and I know it makes you feel powerless, okay, at first, because I'm not suggesting helpful things. But really the most helpful thing you can do with an adult child is engage their thinking brain and get them thinking about solutions. When you tell them what's wrong with them or tell them what to do about it, they get defensive because they feel like you're intruding in their territory. But if you say, gosh, I am so sorry you're struggling with this, or I'm so sorry you feel that way, or I'm so sorry you're having such a difficult time with this, what do you think you need to do about it? You're freeing them up to get out of that emotional place because they feel like they've made a connection. So now they can let go of the emotional piece of it, and then they can turn their thinking brain back on, which allows them to start generating some possible solutions. And if they do the whole, well, I don't know, gosh, I know, that feels so horrible. I'm so sorry you're struggling with that. When you've been in this place before, what have you done to try to feel better? How have you tried to manage it? So you point her back to resources. You point her back to the times that she has successfully encountered this. You know, she's 59 years old. She must have encountered this at some point in her life. And at some time, she probably handles it at least a little better.
A little bit better. And I want to underline that. When you're dealing with somebody who's made it to this age, somehow, even though they've gotten themselves in a gajillion dollars worth of credit card debt, or they've messed up relationships, or they've just had a harder road than the average bear, at some points they've made better decisions than others, had better days than others, had better moments of clarity than others. And allowing them to hear that question and then ask it of themselves, it begins to identify their best selves and those grace-filled moments for them, so they can call on that they know they actually have that resource somewhere, even on days they can't see it.
So number one is empathize with them and then ask them what they want to do with it instead of offering suggestions. And also a part of that is pointing them back to what they have done in the past to deal more effectively. Second suggestion, don't talk to her about what God can do. Pray with her. Don't ask her permission. Just say, you know, honey, I don't know what to do for you, but I know that God does, and then just launch into it. Lord Jesus, please bless my daughter. She's struggling so much right now. Help her to know how much you love her, how much I love her, and show her the way that you want her to go so that she can experience the relief she's looking for. Amen. Boom.
You're done. And even leading in with, oh, you know, you don't even have to say, I know God has the answer, and if you think she'll bristle by that, you can even just start with you just talking to God, simply saying, Lord, I want so much for my daughter to be happy and healthy and whole. I have no idea what to say to her. I don't know how to help her, but I know you love her even more than I do.
But I want you to do that in front with her,
The
phone.
With her on the phone,
exactly.
Don't just
pray on your own. Like when you're talking to her, you know, she's asking you for advice, and you can say, I don't know what to do. Lord, help us to know.
Exactly.
Your answer.
Just bring him into it, because he's right there in that midst of that conversation. We all have to stop making prayer something that we have to set up, like we're setting a formal table. You know, it's just, he's here, he loves us, he wants to help, he just wants us to talk to him, and we don't have to feel awkward about doing that. And it helps even more to just say, I'm not sure what to do, Lord. Please help us right now. Please help my daughter. It's just so natural. And it's not, well, I'm going to evangelize you now. It's truly asking him to bring his healing and his clarity and his truth into the situation.
And then finally, make sure that she's getting professional help. You know, when she's asking you questions that are that about medical issues or psychiatric issues, you know, don't wade into that, because again, the more advice you give, the more it'll accidentally push her away. Just say, you know, honey, who are you talking to about this? Do you have somebody to work with? It sounds like you really need some more professional support with this. Well, you know, why don't you reconnect with that person who is helpful to you? Or what, you know what I'm saying? So get her hooked in with people who can give her tools and techniques and give her the professional support that she clearly needs. So those are the three most important things that you can do to really help her. Do less of the, you know, diagnosing her or trying to suggest solutions or even find answers for her. She won't follow through with that anyway. Empathize and engage her thinking brain. Pray with her. Don't ask permission, but keep it simple. Keep it short. Keep it casual. Keep it from the heart and meaningful, because God is right there in that moment. Let him be part of the conversation. And then make sure that you're referring her or encouraging her to seek those referrals for that professional medical and psychiatric help that she needs. Mary, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you guys, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. But you do have a beautiful heart, and I'm so glad you called in with these with your question, and I hope that these ideas will at least get you a little bit further down the road. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Let's talk about how to make those changes in your life or relationships that you are longing for. If you are feeling a little stuck these days, we want to help you get unstuck and find the way forward. Or for that matter, if someone you love is needing to make a change and you're not sure how to support them, we want to help you give them the support that they need to make that change. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Robert, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey on Sirius XM 130.
Hey, Robert, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, good morning. Good morning. I'm stuck. I'm in a marriage for 18 years.
Okay.
We've been through the perils of life up and down with many obstacles. And just recently, my wife's dad passed away, and I took the dad and the mom, who's also sick, into my home, and we've been caring for them. And my father-in-law just passed away, and I've been supporting my wife, and I've been loving my wife, and she's at a point now where she just feels, and she tells me that I've been a failure, I'm selfish, I'm self-contained, I'm self-loathing, and that she sees no future with me, and that, you know, it's a negative thing. Now, recently, I would say about 4 years ago, I got reborn. I turned, we were both strict Roman Catholics, and I went to a Christian church, and I became reborn, and I've accepted the Lord, and I've become very dedicated to the Lord. And we haven't interfered upon her Roman Catholicism and my Christian faith. She doesn't want to go with me to church, which I'm okay with, but mm-hmm. I pray to God, and I ask God to bring mercy and love in our relationship, and I ask her to pray with me when I come home sometimes, and she doesn't want to pray. She tells me that her prayer is with her, between her and God, and she doesn't want to get involved, mm-hmm. and I kind of explained to her that the stewardship of life, that God gives us the miracle of stewardship, is marriage, and we should be together, but again, I don't push it, because I know it's an obstacle, and I'm just up. I just seem like I'm in a corner. I'm in a dark place.
So Robert, let me ask you this. So when you said that, you know, she doesn't want to work in the marriage, what have you proposed that she do?
In the marriage?
Yeah, you said she doesn't want to work with you on improving the marriage. What have you suggested to her that you guys do that she's rejected?
Well, I asked her if she would go to therapy with me, to a therapist, which she says we don't need. But I guess basically, you know, just, let's live on, I guess, understand that I love you, honey. I love you. You're the world to me. I'll go to the limit. I'll go in a foxhole and take bullets with you. I take your mother and father to care for them. I try to comfort you.
Okay. I understand what you're doing, but so what I'm hearing, okay, Robert, is that I believe your wife is depressed. All right. When somebody when somebody says, oh, you know, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, or something like that. She hasn't said those words exactly, but it's...
Or that's you can go pray over there, but I'm going to keep this to myself. All of that is a drawing in on
all the,
oneself.
You're a failure, this marriage is a disappointment, all that stuff. She may be frustrated with things in the marriage, okay? But if somebody's frustrated with stuff in a marriage, they want to do something about it. The fact that she doesn't want to do something about it means that she's depressed. By the way, you know, when I say do something about it, I mean, that could mean getting help for the marriage or getting out of the marriage. I'm not saying that she wants to get out of the marriage, but I'm saying
and
that...
And you're not saying that that's ever a good thing to do. You're saying that somebody who isn't in a depression has the wherewithal to say, well,
I've
then I'm changing
something.
It.
Yeah, I'm changing something.
Even if it's in a
even
fit of disgust or anger, yeah. It's, well, this is what I'm going to do about it. When it's somebody who's just stagnating in it and blaming others but not willing to do anything to fix it. I've used this analogy before on air, but I think it really bears repeating, that it's very much when we have depression, like we're taking the oldest, moldiest, wettest, stinkiest, old, disgusting army blanket, and we're pulling it over ourselves thinking, this will comfort me. And people are saying, I have a better way for you to be comforted. I have a clean blanket. I can at least wash this one, something. And you're like, no, I'm fine here with my blanket. And we don't even recognize the moldy, stinky, rottenness of it all. And we're holding on to that blanket for dear life. And this is very much what I'm hearing. You're saying, hey, let's pray together. Nope, going to do that by myself. Hey, let's go to counseling. We don't need that. She's very much doing this drawing in on herself and closing out any possible relationship.
So that's part one of the problem, right? Part two of the problem is you're a nice guy, Robert.
You're a wonderfully nice guy.
But that's part of the problem, because you're so nice that your wife doesn't respect you. You're so nice that when you bring up something that needs to happen and she just kind of bats it out of the way, you don't want to cause any waves, so you leave her alone. And you know, I get that. I respect the fact that you don't want to antagonize your wife.
And that doesn't mean you turn around and become a tyrant. There's something besides the either-or polar opposite
of this. But when you love somebody and they're behaving badly, when they're being self-destructive in their attitude, when they're destroying the relationship with their behavior, you need to know how to engage in tough love with that person to be able to say, I love you too much to let you keep acting like this, and I'm going to make a change, you know, one way or the other, and it's going to happen. You know, to be able to be that strong leader in your household that says, look, I love you too much to let you stay in this place, so I have decided to make this change, and I hope you come along with it. Because it's happening with you or without you, and you're going to have to deal with the consequences of it. That's where you need to be able to get, okay? And that's why I'm going to recommend, because of these two things, that you initiate counseling for your marriage with a marriage-friendly therapist that can do what's called systems theory or systems therapy that can help you begin to make changes in the relationship, even if you're the only one working on it. I want you to...
I can hear the whole audience going, but he just said she won't go. Dr. Craig, what are you talking about?
Well, she won't go because, weirdly, okay, this relationship is kind of working for her, because she can be miserable and not have to do anything about it. She gets to feel self-righteous and not take responsibility for it at the same time. There's a sort of a sick satisfaction that comes from the place that she's stuck in.
So by going yourself, that begins to change everything. So you don't need her permission. You don't even need her cooperation. You get with that person who can do systems therapy, one person marriage therapy, and you start.
So you can look for a local therapist through the Marriage Friendly Therapist Network. If you go to marriagefriendlytherapist.com, these are people who are used to doing one spouse marital therapy, who are respectful of marriage. And when you work with a marriage therapist who is marriage friendly, there's over a 90% success rate. When you work with an individual therapist who happens to do relationship counseling, there's about a 30% success rate. So it's important you get with somebody who knows what they're doing. All right. So a marriage-friendly therapist, either in your area, you can work with one of our guys from CatholicCounselors.com. We do operate from a Catholic perspective, if that's an issue for you. But you're listening to Catholic radio and calling a Catholic show, so I don't think that's going to be a big problem.
And we have diverse clientele, so we're respectful of wherever you're at with your spiritual walk, Robert.
But the point is, you know, your wife is depressed, and you've been too nice about it, and you need to learn how to be able to set appropriate boundaries and initiate change that doesn't allow you to be a tyrant on the one hand, but enables you to be effectively loving on the other. that allows you to start making changes and shaking up this system. A good marriage-friendly therapist will show you how to do that, Robert. And I want to thank you for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us and learn more about the resources we have to offer at CatholicCounselors.com. We've got to go to break. When we come back, we're taking more of your calls about making big changes in your life or relationships. Are you ready to get unstuck? We want to help you do that and more. When More to Life continues after the break, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Stick around.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about making big changes on More to Life.
We're talking now with Sally, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hey, Sally. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I want to first start out by saying you guys are fabulous. I'm so blessed that I found you today on my radio station.
Thank you so much.
To the Catholic Church about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, after wandering around in a number of Christian churches for about 40 years even. It actually was 40 years ago when I came back to the Catholic Church. God showed me that it was 40 years that I had left the church and wandered.
Well, Sally, God bless you and welcome back. And I've only got about a minute and a half before they throw me out of here, and I know you have a big question, so I want to make sure I get to it. But thank you so much for those kind words, and welcome home.
Thank you. So my question is, I feel that there's something wrong with me that I need to change about me and how I communicate. I have a new job, and it's not the first time I've had a job where I don't just slide in and fit in with everybody, but I actually have a few people at every job I go to. I'm a psychiatric nurse, and I consider myself a good communicator, but I do find that there are always a few people that just can't stand me, want me gone. They're usually like the Islander type of people that are very strong personalities, too, and I'm at a loss. Beyond praying, which is an obvious, and I am praying, I wondered if there was something you could recommend to me, a book or some certain type of counseling that you think would be helpful to me for me to just learn how to make a quiet entrance into these different settings that I go to.
Okay. And it says on the board, too, there's a specific situation where your supervisor gave you an 8-hour shift on Christmas and this other person a 12-hour shift and she's mad at you. And it's all this little drama around that. So in the time that I've got, I've got about 20 seconds now, I'm going to suggest to you picking up a copy of our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's all about how you can both build rapport and set appropriate charitable boundaries with people so that you can improve relationships. It also enables you to kind of insulate yourself a little bit from the drama, because the reality is, you know, sometimes people are just not going to like us, and that has to be okay. You know, we can't make everybody like us. And how do you make peace with that? Well, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts will help walk you through that process to be able to make whatever changes you can in the relationship and be okay with the changes that you can't make so that you can experience peace either way. I encourage you to come on over to our place at CatholicCounselors.com and check out the link for that book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, as well as learn about the other resources there, including our telecounseling practice, if you feel like you would benefit from that. We offer counseling with professional Catholic therapists over the phone and video teleconferencing as well. So if anybody would like more work on their marriage, family, or personal life, check it out at CatholicCounselors.com and have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.